This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala amma ba'd fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim, bismillah ar-rahman ar-rahim Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullah haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli wa ja'al li waziran min ahli amin ya rabbal alameen Before we can start today's khutbah, please make a special dua for our brothers and sisters in Gaza, in West Bank and in entire ummah, including the brothers and sisters in North America, wherever they are struggling, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them victory, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them peace and tranquility, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establish justice. Ameen, Ya Rab. The topic which was given to me by Sheikh Salah was actually how to have impactful marriage from the guidance from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he wanted to keep focus on Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of the upcoming Seerah conference. I have to just share a few hadith and try to make it relevant to all of us. But before I can start, I'm not giving you numbers because I don't know how much time I will going to have. So depending on the time, whether 3, 4, 5, 6, I'm going to share those hadith, inshallah. But before I can start, I have seen a general mistake from myself, from all of us. When we are approaching any topic, it's extremely important for us to contextualize the topic before we can even start that topic. What it means, like for example, those of you who are from India or Bangladesh or Pakistan, I'm pretty sure if you have heard the khutbahs there, your scholars have told you this, that make sure you don't mix Hindu culture with Islam. because the dominant other culture in that region is Hindu culture, and Muslims were living in that culture for a long time, and there's a lot of syncretism. Syncretism is a term where you mix other cultures and you think it's a part of your faith. This is called syncretism. But it actually also applies to us here. When we Muslims, we are living in the West, and obviously West is known for cultural imperialism, and we are sitting in one of the hubs of that. So it's extremely important for us to have the same mindset that whatever is the guardrail given by us from the Quran and Sunnah, we should try to take it organically. And whatever is coming from the cultural value, which conflict, not goes in line, alhamdulillah, nurun ala nur. But if it conflicts, we need to say that this is not part of Quran and Sunnah. So that's something which you have to do here also. Otherwise, wherever you are living, the wider dominant culture have an impact or have a potential to impact your understanding of the divine message. So with this, inshallah, I would like to start. The reason why I actually started with this is because we are living in a modern Western culture, and one of the problems which we as a Muslim can have, one of the good things about this culture is financially we are doing amazing. It means I took my sabbatical, I visited 4 Muslim majority countries in the summer, Turkey, Pakistan, Saudi, Malaysia, and I actually figured out that American Muslim community is so fortunate in terms of finances. Alhamdulillah, we are financially very healthy, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us more healthy, Ameen Ya Rabbi, and help of our Ummah, Ameen Ya Rabbi. The downside of it, there are pros and cons. The downside is that the wider culture can impact us quickly because we are living in a minority, especially in America as compared to Europe. One of the things which can and which is happening is that the wider mainstream modern Western culture doesn't give value to God. It's a very ungodly modern liberal culture. Once you leave the mosque, no one values God here. Our politics for last few hundred years is extremely secular, hence violent. Our economics is extremely secular. We have many resources, but the greed also increased, and that's why people are dying out of hunger. According to WHO, almost 9 million people died out of hunger 2 years back with so many resources. Because not only resources increase, but once you remove the God from economics, what else will increase? Greed. And guess what? Your family life is also uprooted. Because once you remove God's name, once you remove divine guidance from the institution of family, what do you think? You will run the family institution with technology and AI? No. Technology-wise, you will rise, but morality-wise, you will be bankrupt. And that's what's happening in the wider community. Just go and check, not during the khutbah, go and check CDC reports. Go and check Google fatherhood.org. You will see disastrous statistics. Almost 45 to 55% of the kids in America, how many? 45 to 55% of the kids in America are born without marriage. 18 million kids are fatherless. This is from fatherhood.org in America. The idea is when you remove God from the institution of family, when you remove divine guidance from the social institution, fabric of social institution, don't you think you will see the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We Muslims, when we get married to each other, we take the name of Allah to make the man and woman halal for each other. That's the beauty of Islam, to bring Allah back into your marriage. With this introduction, keep this in mind that we have to bring back Allah in our marriage. We have to bring back Allah in our parenting. We have to bring back Allah in every institution because the wider society have reduced the role in the ungodly society. So we have to actually have a reverse equation to save our family institutions. With this, inshallah, let's go one by one. How many, I think 3 to 4 hadiths we can discuss. Before we can start, I will just tell you the authentic hadith from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I know that this can easily happen. Whenever any speaker is speaking about family issues, it's easy for you all to idolize the speaker. Man, he must be a good husband. She must be a good wife. He must be a good son. She must be a good daughter. Don't do this. Sometimes the speaker have more problems than the listener. I am serious. Sometimes speakers have more problems than listeners. You have been ditched multiple times. If you have to take anyone as an ideal, take Ma'asum sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he's been watched by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, corrected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we cannot expect about him that he will preach something and practice something. About him, Aisha, wife, beloved wife of Aisha, what did he say? When Sahaba asked, what do you think about the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Aisha said, Kana khuluquhul Quran. I want you to pay close attention. Kana khuluqul Quran means he was a walking Quran. Pay close attention, husband's here. If your wife is being asked by other sisters, how is the character of your husband? Our wives will never say this, my husband is a walking Quran. Usually we have so much complaints. And sisters, same thing, vice versa. This shows the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That he was as clean as private and public. That's why take from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, point number one. This hadith, if you have to give any title, give the title, husband and wife should bring back Allah in their marriage and they try to do things together from an Allah-centric way. This is the title. Now the hadith says in Abu Dawud, very interesting hadith. Rahimallahu rajulan. May Allah have mercy on that husband. Qama min al-layli. Who wakes up at night, fasalla, and he prays tahajjud. وَأَيْقَظَ إِمْرَاتَهُ And then he wakes his wife up to pray tahajjud. فَإِنْ أَبَتْ نَضَحَ فِي وَجْهِهَا الْمَا And if his wife denies, maybe she's feeling sleepy, drowsy, then what he does? She takes the water and sprinkles over her face. What the hadith says, may Allah have a special mercy on this husband who prays tahajjud in the middle of the night, wakes up, and then he wakes his wife up. If his wife denies, then he takes the water, sprinkle over her face. And the hadith continues, Rahimallahu imra, may Allah have mercy on that wife who wakes in the middle of the night. Qamat min al-layli, fasallat wa iqadha zawjaha. And then she prayed tahajjud, and then she wakes her husband up. And if the husband denies, nadahat fi wajhihi al-ma. Then she sprinkles water over his face. How beautiful the relationship. But I have noticed this hadith, especially after I started valuing this hadith, especially after I became imam and resident scholar in American Muslim community. That's for last 13 years. One thing we are learning about this, either you can have Allah in your marriage or your own ego in your marriage. What happened, husbands and wives, those who are listening, if you wake your wife or husband up at 3:30 by sprinkling water over his or her face, what will going to happen? How dare you? Mind your own business. It's my body, my choice. And all those arguments are going to come. Okay, wait a minute, Habibi. Is he waking up or is she waking up for the personal selfish needs? No, they are waking up for Allah. In this hadith, the guidelines are clear. If you are waking each other up, if you are reminding each other for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then make him or her a little uncomfortable, so that eventually they will go closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the first lesson we are learning. If this is the hadith for the tahajjud prayer, then you have to remind your spouse for even the obligatory things. This is extremely important, but obviously don't lose wisdom. You are not dealing with the sahaba. Sometimes people have different phases in their life, so you have to use wisdom. But this hadith tells me that I have to have Allah-centric relationship. One of the other things I'm learning from this hadith, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it's not enough for you to pray tahajjud alone as a wife or as a husband. If you want a special mercy of Allah, then both of you need to grow spiritually together. Because we have seen so many times, the husband will become practicing after 5 years of marriage, or the wife will become practicing after 5 years of marriage, and the other person won't, and now they will have a spiritual or religious incompatibility. Now they will have fights. So Rasulullah wants both of you to grow together. This is beautiful hadith, the practical manifestation of this. Okay, today is Friday. Habibi, let's recite Surah Kahf together. This is the manifestation of this hadith. Today is Monday, let's fast together. When you are sitting in a gathering, you know, in a family gathering, one of the things about family gatherings, that you will backbite a lot. You will gossip a lot. You will tarnish the reputation of other family relatives. So ask your spouse to help you, to stop you. Spiritually helping each other, all can be practical manifestation of this hadith. If your relationship is built on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if it's not bid on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you know what will happen? Then your ego will come. And once ego will come, things will blow out of proportion. Bring back Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your marriage. You know, one of the scholars, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, says, when we love others, we love them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have you ever heard this? I love you for the sake of Allah. Inni uhibbuka fillah. Why fillah? Why for the sake of Allah? My primary love is for Allah. I love my father, I love my mother, I love my spouse, I love my husband, I love my wife, I love my kids, I love all of you, but for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know what does it mean? What impact it have? First of all, psychologically, it reminds me, Allah is the most important, primary love is for Allah, all other love are beneath the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means, if I'm loving my spouse for the sake of Allah, and God forbid, if my spouse turns out rebellious, but if you are loving her or him for Allah, it will be easy for you to control on yourself. Because you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with you. But if you are loving your spouse for the sake of who they are, and there is no Allah in the picture, then it will be really difficult for you to control if anything will happen. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah-centric love, bring Allah in your marriage, is extremely, extremely important in the marriages. And also, from the practical life, if you wake up early in the morning, and if husband and wife are loving each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let's say if husband starts screaming on these small, small issues, if wife starts yelling on small, small issues, if you are loving your spouse for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know what will going to happen? You will think that it's the first test of Allah in the morning. It's the first test of Allah through my spouse. And I will be patient. But if you remove Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if you put your ego in the middle, and if your spouse is screaming at you, then you know what will going to happen in the morning? Everything will blow out of proportion. Bring back Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your marriage. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen ya Rab. Second hadith to balance this. I told you, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, husband and wife have to wake each other up, right? For tahajjud. Now just to balance this hadith. This hadith is mentioned in Sahih Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after praying Salatul Fajr, he went to one of his wife Aisha's house, and he was hungry, so he asked, "Hal indaki shay? Do you have anything for breakfast?" What Aisha said? Aisha said, "La, we don't have anything." And this just basically a point of realization. He is the real king, rahmatan lil alameen. But this is the situation in his house, subhanAllah. And look at our pantry, subhanAllah. Wallahu musta'an. So Aisha said, "We don't have anything." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know what he said? He said, "Okay, inni izan asum. If you don't have anything, then I will fast the entire day." He didn't say, "Aisha, you didn't cook anything, you didn't make anything, you could have asked the neighbor, you didn't arrange any food, I'm the Prophet of Allah, you should have done something." No. "You don't have anything? Okay. I want to tell you one thing, brothers and sisters. When it's for Allah, you are sprinkling water over your spouse's face. When it's for your own hunger, you are saying, 'Inni izan asum.' Okay. No matter. I'll fast." Okay. Next day. Hadith continues. Next day. Rasulullah fasted. He assumed that still we might not get anything. After Salatul Fajr, he went to Aisha. But just to check, he said, "Aisha, hal indaki shay? Do you have anything today?" Even though he was fasting. And Aisha said, "Actually, yes, we have today something." You know what she said? What Rasulullah responded? He says, "Inni izan uftar. If that's the case, I will break my fast because I was fasting also." Allahu Akbar. This tells us, by the way, this tells us two-way traffic. Aisha did not say, "I told you we don't have any food. You didn't provide any grocery. That's your responsibility." Didn't Rasulullah say, "You didn't have anything, you didn't cook anything for me"? They respected each other. Most of our fights happen because of the materialistic reasons. Most of the fight. The petty issues usually come in the marriages. When it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are sprinkling water over the face of each other. When it comes to personal hunger, food, they would say, "No worries. What if we don't have food? We have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will fast." The problem is we are living in a materialistic society. We love each other only for materialistic gains also, by the way. I'm not saying don't love each other for apparent beauty. But our love should be spiritual also. One of the scholars visited America in 1977, Sheikh Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi. And this is the first and last time he visited. He visited Harvard, Princeton, different universities. In one of the universities, someone asked him, Sheikh, how did you like the American civilization and humans in America? You know what he said? He says, قَدْ رَأَيْتُكَ كُلَّ شَيْ فِي أَمْرِيكَ إِلَّا الْإِنسَانِ. He says, I saw everything, technology, gadgets, whatever was available in 77, except human being. And this is, what does it mean? In a very respectful way. Sheikh was also a scholar of philosophy. What does it mean? So Sheikh said, we in Islam consider insan, human being, as someone who have a physical body along with soul, ruh. After industrial revolution, I have seen in the West, you guys have started treating human being as just physical body, as machines. From morning till evening, they're running. They're running behind finances. There's no spiritual nourishment. So I don't see real human being, I see only machines here. Such a beautiful way to convey the message. We love each other also sometimes from materialistic perspective. Bring back Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your marriage and you will see the fruits of it coming out of your marriage, inshallah. Third hadith. All the different incidents I'm telling, just connected to one theme. Bring back Allah into your marriage and see how all these advices are connected. The Rasulullah, even though it will look different hadith, but apparently Rasulullah is giving one message, tying your marriage back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is extremely important for Muslims in the West. Third, because Western Muslim community is being impacted a lot from self-centric and egocentric issues. If you go to psychologists that you are struggling from arrogance, if they are not Sharia-compliant psychotherapists, they will going to say it's self-care. It's self-confidence. No, arrogance is haram, Habibi. You need to actually become humble. You need to learn humility. So we have to bring back Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our discourse. Third hadith, again in Bukhari, and see how beautifully Rasulullah is explaining this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, إِنَّكَ لَن تُنْفِقَ نَفَقَةً تَبْتَغِي بِهَا وَجْهَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا أُجَرْتَ عَلَيْهَا. He said, whatever a Muslim man or a Muslim woman will spend in the way of Allah, Allah will compensate, reward them. Subhanallah. And then he added, حَتَّى مَا تَجْعَلَ فِي فَمِّي إِمْرَأَتَكَ. Even if a husband takes the bite of the food, morsel of the food, and from his hand he puts in the wife's mouth, he will get reward for that also. Ask yourself why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is explaining in such an explicit way. He could have said, treat your wife, treat your husband in a kind way, Allah will reward you. Why he have to give these examples? The answer is, he's teaching us something, to express love for each other. But did you see something, brothers and sisters, here? Even such a loving moment that husband and wife are sharing the meal and they are taking the morsel of food and giving to each other, Rasulullah connected this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah will reward you for this gesture. Don't do it for yourself, don't do it for your spouse, do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Did you see that? This is what I'm talking about in this entire khutbah. Bring back Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your marriage. We, as Muslims, we don't reduce Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the masjid. That's a de facto Christianization of Islam. No, we believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His teachings will be practiced when I will leave the masjid also, when I'll go to work, when I'll go to family. And this is an extremely important point. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us all wisdom. Ameen, Ya Rab. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala amma ba'd. Just last hadith I want to share. Whenever husband and wife are going anywhere, one of the things which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that they also need to make sure that they are spending time together, they are going in the family invitation, in the lunch and dinner, traveling together. This is something which we learned from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are a few hadiths, but I'll just mention one. Again, of Sahih Muslim. The narrator is Anas radiallahu anhu. It's a very beautiful incident for all of you to remember and apply this. He says, أَنَّ جَارًا لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ فَارْسِيًا. He says, one of the neighbors of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Farsi, was Persian. And he made soup soup for Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Then فصنع لي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم جاء يدعو. He made soup for Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم in his house, and he was a neighbor, and he invited Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Rasulullah, I made soup for you. Please come. You know what Rasulullah said صلى الله عليه وسلم? Allahu Akbar. He said, وهذه لعائشة. Is Aisha also invited, or is me only? That neighbor said, La, only you are invited. Because he did not get it that Rasulullah is asking me to bring my family. Then Rasulullah says, La, fa'ada yadur. Then he said, I'm not coming. He says, I'm not coming. Then next day he made soup again, and he invited Rasulullah again. And then Rasulullah says the same thing, Wahazihi li Aisha. Is Aisha also invited? He said, no, he said, I'm not coming. Third day he got it. He made soup, and he intended to invite both Rasulullah and Aisha. So he said, Rasulullah, come, third day. He says, Wahazihi li Aisha. Is my wife invited? Yes, this time you and your wife both are invited. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, along with Aisha, they went to his house and they actually had soup. What are we learning from this, my brothers and sisters? We are learning the value of spending time together, the value of giving value to your spouse. You know, one of the scholars, Imam Nawawi, when he wrote the commentary of this hadith, he mentioned that imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam disliked attending a lunch or dinner or a special meal without her. This should teach us a lot. And this goes both the ways, by the way. After marriage, if sisters are having their own party, brothers are having their own party, sometimes it's break time, so it's necessary. But if it becomes a habit all the time, then that's problematic. After the marriage, you are called zawj. Zawj means other half. So you need to include each other. This is a rite of companionship, which even basically tells us the emphasized manners of gathering. I will just conclude this, inshallah, that these are the teachings. And there are many, many, many teachings you can read the books of ahadith, and any book we're going to read Kitab al-Nikah, and you're going to see all these ahadith. But the bottom line is, if we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our life, if we are wearing Allah-centric lens in looking at our relationship will have a right priority. But if you don't have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your life, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ لَهُ نُورًا فَمَا لَهُ مِن نُورٍ. So one of the ways of coming back or becoming a good family member is actually becoming a good servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can you be a good loyal spouse if you are not loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Bring back Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your life, and that will going to impact your marriage, your relationship with others, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to do this, inshallah. And also, just the final reminder, when we are talking about bringing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our marriage, some of you, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of our marriages, ameen, but some of you might be going through divorce. This is a sad reality. It happened between the Sahaba. Divorce doesn't make you a bad person in and of itself. It's the way you react and you behave during the divorce and after divorce we're going to decide whether you're a good person or a bad person. So maybe you're going through a tough divorce. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help you on that. But even Quran tells us the etiquettes of doing it, to bring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while you are getting divorced. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed an entire surah called Surah At-Talaq, chapter of divorce. Allah didn't give Surah Nikah. In that small surah of 2 pages, Allah mentioned 5 times to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. اتقوا الله ربكم ومن يتق الله ومن يتق الله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually said this. Taqwa, 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 God conscious, bring Allah back, bring Allah back, bring Allah back. So whether you're making a relationship or leaving the relationship, it's extremely important to have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because our Muslim community, we know how to start relationship in a decent way, but we do not know how to end relationship or dissolve relationship in a decent way. Even the practicing Muslim brothers and sisters, the kind of accusations which they will put on each other, you will say, where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Throughout the marriage, there was Allah, but when you're getting divorced, there is no Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah will be with you, inshallah, if you are patient through the process when you're going through divorce, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the ability to control your emotions, inshallah ta'ala. Just one announcement before we can end, inshallah. That announcement that next week, inshallah, the entire week, this masjid, ICF, is conducting a Seerah conference. You must have seen the flyer. many, many different speakers are coming. So I would really request you all to come and take benefit from this Seerah conference and learn about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because in order to develop the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have to know who he is. So it's very important for us to come with the family, inshallah. And if I'm not mistaken, there will be registration outside, inshallah. So please register yourself and your family, inshallah ta'ala. Please make dua for the entire ummah. Allahumma ansuril Islam wal muslimin. اللهم اغزل من خزل دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا تجعلنا معهم اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرت ولا هما إلا فرجت ولا دينا إلا قضيت ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة إلا قضيتها يا أرحم الراحمين ولا مريضا إلا شفيت ولا ميتا إلا رحمت ولا ضالا إلا هديت يا أرحم الراحمين أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات فقيم الصلاة.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah, ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Hayya 'alas salah, hayya 'alas salah, hayya 'alal falah, hayya 'alal falah. Qad qamat as-salah, qad qamat as-salah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. لا إله إلا الله.
استووا استقيموا واعتدلوا ولا تختلفوا بين صفوفكم صوت القلب. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين فمن ابتغى وراء ذلك فأولئك هم العادون. الله أكبر. سمي الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين.
والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. الله أكبر. سمي الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.